Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Mastro Subaru, Bricado Sandwich Shop, B4, and of course Christian from Headlines Barbershop. It's a special edition of Bucks Uncensored. We are fired up for Monday Night Football. Isn't that right, Maya?
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm so excited about Monday Night Football, but I can't stand the Steelers. They are white. That towel is terrible. Remember, Bucks fans, speak softly and tell your best friend. B-U-C-S. Go Bucks!
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't see my face and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we about. I know what we about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Let's play. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Stick. Hey, it is Monday Night Football. Here we go. Recording this on Sunday night. I'm fired up. I cannot wait to get out there Monday afternoon, tailgating, getting ready for a big game against the Steelers. And you better be warned and you better be prepared. The Steelers are coming in, a desperate team. Negative things spoken about them all week long. They will be prepared. They will be prepared. They are coming here to make their own statement that they have not gone anywhere. The Bucks, on the other hand, I can't remember the last time the Buccaneers played on primetime TV with this much momentum behind them. Sure, last year they were 2-1 against the Patriots on Thursday night. It almost felt as if we were trying to manufacture energy and excitement. Like, we wanted to be excited, but there was just something holding us back. This year, that's not the case. You know, you can feel the energy in this city on the rise. Steelers coming in. No Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Bryant or Antonio Brown yelling at his offensive coordinator last week. Yeah, they're in disarray, but they've got a ton of talent. They've got talent offensively. They've got a quarterback that can pick you apart, a quarterback that can elude the rush, and a front seven on defense that can get after you. And don't let their statistics fool you. Now, the Steelers defense, they did give up a lot of points last week to the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes is on the same level as Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. So I wouldn't just assume that the Steelers defense is going to be shit. But we've got the opportunity to make them shit. Like I said earlier in the week, you can look at the first three games and bitch and moan and cry just like most people did. Or you can look at them and say, this is a hell of an opportunity and as good of an opportunity as any team in NFL history has gotten in the first three games. And all the Buccaneers have done is go to New Orleans and beat their division rival on the home and beat the Super Bowl champions in their house, at home, inside Raymond James Stadium. See, the best news about Monday Night Football now is if the Buccaneers go out on Monday Night Football and perform the way they played the last two games, they're already starting to become that, but they will be the talk of the NFL. At 3-0, the team that is surprising everyone early on, and after Monday night, three of the Bucs' toughest games will be behind them. So how are they going to get this done? It's simple. Anytime you face the Steelers, you think hard-nosed football. While this isn't the same Steelers team or franchise that we're used to seeing, that's how the Bucs have won their first two games, and that is how they're going to win any other games they win this season. And that is by winning the line of scrimmage and kicking the shit out of the opponent in front of you. And this offensive line can do it against this Steelers defensive line, and the Bucs defensive line can do it against this Steelers offensive line. Win the line of scrimmage. You know, I'm not like most fans, and well, I know they're throwing the football, but they have to establish a run. You know, I get it. People want to bitch to bitch. People can't just be happy just to be happy. And yeah, eventually they need to establish a run. And maybe this is the game they do it. But if it's working offensively and they can't cover Evans, DeSean Jackson, Godwin, Adam Humphries, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. It's a lot of weapons you're throwing at him. A lot of weapons. Of those six weapons, most likely at least three or four are going to be on the field at the same time. I don't know how you stop it. I honestly don't know how you stop it. And until somebody stops it, then who gives a shit how the Buccaneers are moving the football and scoring points? I've seen teams throw the ball the entire year, and guess what? Go on to win Super Bowls. What the Buccaneers are doing offensively is they're creating an identity. Something that I'm sure Todd Monken and Dirk Koetter have worked on this offseason. And it's not as if Todd Monken's come in and brought his own scheme and everything. They're running Dirk Koetter's plays. Whether Monken's calling them or Dirk Koetter's calling them or a hybrid of both calling them, it's the same offense. But as most good head coaches do, Dirk Koetter has adjusted. He's given over either all or at least a majority of the play calling duties to Todd Monken. And he's identified that if this offense is going to succeed, they need to take advantage of all the weapons that they have, spread it out, and get as many of those weapons on the field at the same time. I love the approach by Dirk Koetter. I love the approach by Todd Monken. And now it's get in the face of Ben Roethlisberger, force some turnovers in this game. Brent Grimes, questionable. I expect him to play, and I expect him to be on Antonio Brown. Other than that, I'd like to continue to see those rookies in the secondary. This team, this defense has got to be flying around to the football, create turnovers, and offensively, do not let up. Ironically, this is probably the worst defense that they've faced in the first 3 weeks. And look at what they did against the Saints, and look at what they did against the Eagles. They can do it again. against the Steelers. But will this Buccaneer team rise to the lights of prime time Monday Night Football? I know I will. And I know each and every one of you will. The Steeler Nation will be there. They'll be twirling their towels. But just like the Eagles fans that showed up last week, they can be loud all they want until the game starts. And at that point, we take over. We defend our house. We go to 3-0. And we get through the first three games of this season unscathed. And an early front runner, not only for the playoffs, the division title, but maybe, just maybe, a true contender this year. Two items I want to bring up. This isn't the extended podcast. This is my hype podcast, man. I'm fire. I want to get there. I want to be at Bucks Beach. I want to be there at 7 o'clock at night. I want all the Bucks fans, all the stick carriers to unite together. There are going to be towels. There are going to be Steeler fans. We have got to come together. And I urge each and every one of you to meet at the Bucks Beach, the South End Zone Plaza, at 7 o'clock. As we rally there and we chant and we cheer and we yell and we enter our stadium together as one. We go in, we defend our house, and we remain undefeated on the season. Two items I do want to address, though. The Steelers are listening to offers for Le'Veon Bell, and the Buccaneers have been named by one of the newspapers there in Pittsburgh as one of the three finalists. Bucks, Jets, Colts. Bucks, Jets, Colts. Good news, the Bucks, the only NFC team mentioned. I'm not holding my breath. I have never been one to say, yes, go all in. Give up the farm. Give up whatever you have to. Draft picks, money, whatnot. And as most of you know, salary cap, it is such a crutch. It is such a low-hanging fruit. It is such a lazy way out to just say, well, how you going to re-sign Marpet and Donovan Smith and Kwan? How you going to do it? You can't trade for Bell and think you're going to re-sign everyone. The fuck you can't. Has anyone seen what has happened in the NFL over the last few years? If you want players, you can make a way for them to fit under your cap. You can make it happen. You cannot tell me that the Rams in LA with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters and who's that safety they have? LaMarcus Joyner? Wasn't he given the franchise tag? They trade for Brandon Cooks. They've got Todd Gurley. You can't sit here and tell me that you can't acquire talent. That's why you have smart people running your books, and the Buccaneers have been among the smartest in contracts and managing their cap the last several years. With that said, there's hesitation for the contract, and there's hesitation as to what in the earth the Steelers might be asking for a running back that is how old now? At least 26 or 27. I mean, we're not talking about a guy who's going to play another 8, 9, 10 years. It's risky business. Are they asking for a first-round pick? I'd probably hesitate at a first-round pick. The Bucks drafted Ronald Jones pretty high in the second round because I think they're confident in him. And he's been inactive the first 2 weeks, not because he can't run the football, not because he can't catch the football. I guarantee you it has the most to do with his pass-blocking ability. And when you look at the big plays the Bucks and Fitzpatrick have had this year, it's come because either Jaquizz Rodgers or Peyton Barber have picked up an incredible pass rusher, whether it's a defensive lineman or linebacker blitzing. They picked it up, provided Fitzpatrick extra time to where he could deliver the big play. That's why Ronald Jones isn't playing. Is Le'Veon Bell a drastic improvement over all of the running backs the Bucs have? Yes. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to sugar. Absolutely. But what are they asking for? And is it realistic that something like that can get done? Like I said, I'm not holding my breath. If it were to happen, I'd have a smile on my face. If it doesn't, I think the Bucks are still in a good position and a good place right now and for the foreseeable future. Now, as for Fitzpatrick, folks, go back and listen to last Wednesday's Bucks Uncensored podcast. Do not get sucked in. Do not be gullible enough to buy into this manufactured quarterback controversy the media is trying to drum up to get clicks from each and every one of you. They are trying to divide you. That's all they have left. Because as the Bucks win, see fans come together. And gone are, what do we bitch about? I'm telling you, that's what's going on in the media room. And so if there's nothing to bitch about, which they'll still bitch about the run offense and whatnot, but the, again, another crutch, another easy way out. Jameis is going to be benched. Well, no shit. It's only a story if Fitzpatrick is benched right now, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is the MVP of the NFL right now. Yes, Patrick Mahomes had another very good game, great game on Sunday. But Fitzpatrick, most valuable player, what Fitzpatrick has done in the first 2 weeks has been mind-boggling. And while I think some people at least thought that the Chiefs could go 2-0 or 3-0, nobody on earth other than the faithful thought that the Buccaneers would be where they are right now. Jameis Winston didn't get benched. The Buccaneers aren't getting rid of Jameis Winston. But when somebody is playing the most important position in all of sports, to the level that Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you would be a moron to take him out of the lineup just because the younger player, your franchise quarterback, is coming back. This could be a blessing in disguise for this franchise and organization moving forward. Jameis Winston's never really had the opportunity to sit back and truly learn. He had McCown there, and this Jameis has had experience. He's working his ass off since he's been gone. And now if he can come back and continue to observe Ryan Fitzpatrick, that could end up making Jameis Winston an even better quarterback once he gets his time. You know, Mahomes, for the Chiefs, he didn't get just thrown in there as a rookie. He had a chance to watch Alex Smith before getting his opportunity. Again, could be a blessing in disguise. Do we believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick can keep this torrid pace up an entire season? I mean, I'd be lying if I said yes. I mean, I hope for it. But I think he's a good backup, but sooner or later, I think he's going to come back down to earth. When he comes back down to earth, Jameis Winston will be in there. Again, don't fall for a headline. Don't fall for the agenda the media is pushing to try and divide you, separate you. Embrace the winning. Embrace the team. Embrace each other. Unite together. Bucks Beach, 7 o'clock. Be there. Whether you're tailgating with us on Tampa Bay, if you take Himes, go east on Tampa Bay. It's at the corner of Tampa Bay and Glen, like in between Glen and that next street. Big grass lot. Just walk by there. We're all out there. It's a blast. We have a great time. But if you tailgate on your own, pack up a little bit early. Get to the South End Zone Plaza around 7 o'clock. Let's enter the stadium together. Let's get each other fired up. Get others around us fired up. Stand for the defense. Make a shit ton of noise for our defense. And show the world why we will continue to believe it is us versus them. Buccaneers against the world. And we will end, in the words of the Godfather, Dirk Cutter. He said these words at the end of the 2016 season. And damn it, if this team isn't living by those words this year. I play them for you in a much sexier voice.
Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
All right, get there early. Show up at 7 o'clock. Enter the stadium with us. Let's get in our seats. Let's defend our home. And let's get our team to 3-0 and continue to be undefeated on the season. Wreak havoc. Go Bucks. Fire the fucking cannons. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.